For those of you who may not know me, I am Rick Hayden, and I am one of the elders of the church. And it seems like whenever I'm preparing a sermon, God is speaking to me and wanting me to work on something in the process of my sanctification. And the topic of today's sermon is no different. This sermon is just as much for me as it is for all of you. The title of my sermon today, as you can see in your bulletin, is titled, Tell Somebody About Jesus. Earlier this week, I didn't know if I'd be standing up here sharing my message with you. Maybe it was because of my topic. I'm sure that would have pleased Satan. But my allergies got the best of me, and I had a hard time talking and didn't have much of a voice earlier this week. I even had to use a microphone in the gym so the kids could hear me in PE class. My voice is still not 100%, but I am here, and God's word and the message that he has given me will be preached. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 26 through 40. It could be found on page 1089 and 1090 in your pew Bible. Now, if you know your Bible, you know the book of Acts is about the beginning and the growth of the church. And once someone becomes a born-again believer, like that which was happening in the beginning and the growth of the church, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if that applies to you and to me, then I believe it is the plan and the purpose of God's Spirit in us to use each one of us to share our faith in Jesus, to invite others to know Christ, to introduce our family, our friends, and people that we may never meet through various ways and means to the good news of Jesus Christ. Too often we are guilty of being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Our failure to talk about Jesus cheats some of our family, friends, and people that we meet out of the blessings that knowing him can bring. The following story illustrates my point. A man attended the 10-year reunion of his high school class. It was fun for him to see so many of his old friends whom he hadn't seen in years. Then one of his friends pulled him aside. He had been one of this man's closest buddies in high school. They had played basketball together and always sat together at lunch. The friend told the man that a year earlier he had the most fantastic experience of his life. He had become a Christian. He had become a believer in Jesus Christ. He explained the change that had come over him and the new joy that he had experienced because of being in a relationship with Christ. He went on and on about his life as a new Christian. After his first pause, the man interrupted him and said, "I'm so glad to hear this. You know, I'm a Christian too." The friend asked, "When did you become a Christian?" The man explained to him that it was when he was a little boy. To this, the friend responded with the most intense question, "If you were a Christian when we were in high school, how come you never told me about Christ? How come you never told me about Jesus?" Then the man didn't know what to say. Many of us here today may just be as speechless as the man in this story. I hope not. This morning, we're going to look at a man from the Bible who was not afraid to share his faith. We're going to meet a man who went to a desert place, a very distant place, to share his faith. He was on a mission to share the gospel and to get out of his own comfort zone to share his personal faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, please turn there. And it's on page 1089 and 1090. I'd like to read verses 26 through 40 to give us a story on which my sermon is based. The title in the Pew Bible is titled, Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, I'd like you to go back to the first part of verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip." So we're talking about Philip here. Before we look more closely at the passage, I want to give you some background on this man named Philip. There are four different men mentioned in the Bible named Philip. Two of the men named Philip are the names of two of King Herod's great sons by different wives. The two other Philips in the Bible were servants of Christ and instrumental in the early church. One was Philip the disciple and apostle of Christ, and the other was Philip the evangelist. The evangelist, Philip was one of the deacons of the church. Well, in today's passage in the book of Acts, we'll be talking about Philip the evangelist. Philip was one of the deacons of the church, a layman sharing his faith in Christ. And remember, this wasn't just the apostle sharing his faith, but all believers were on a mission inviting others to know Christ. And so Philip, like Stephen before him, one of the deacons or evangelists of the early church, is out there doing what God has called him to do, to share the gospel of Christ. First in Samaria, God sent a great revival among the people there, and God greatly used this man Philip as a catalyst for that revival. But then something very unusual happened to Philip. Look at verses 26 and 27. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official from Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure." In other words, this was a very important figure in the government of the Ethiopians, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Being a God-fearer, he had sought God in Jerusalem and had made this trek from Ethiopia across the desert to Jerusalem. And yet this man, filled with religion, was going home empty, knowing that he needed something else, something more in his life. So verse 28 says, "And was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." In some way, intuitively, and yet intently, the Spirit of God spoke to Philip and prompted him to go talk to this man in the chariot. Look at verse 30, if you will. "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip ran to the chariot to meet him at the point of his need. He found this man fully prepared to receive what God was about to give him, salvation. And the Ethiopian eunuch said in verse 31, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. This comes right out from the book of Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth." He's talking about the Lord. He's reading about the Messiah who would come and sacrifice. And in his humiliation, justice was denied him. So this very religious man, this leader in his own country, he was wondering, what does all this mean? What did Isaiah mean when he spoke of this one who would die like a lamb sent to a slaughter? And the eunuch said to Philip in verse 34, "About whom, I ask you, who does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then I love what it says in verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth." He didn't just simply influence him with his life, because it takes more than that to bring others to Christ. He opened up his mouth. He spoke. The Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." That, in simple form, is the way every one of us can witness. It was an extreme thing for God to say to Philip, "I want you to leave this comfortable place and go to an unknown place. Just follow my prompts, go after my lead, and I will show you and prepare you for something that I have specifically called you to do." In my spiritual walk and my process of my sanctification, I'm learning that the Spirit of God moves us to take risk, to get off easy street and walk the narrow road, to take off our shoes and get our feet dirty for the cause of Christ, even in a desert place, even in a dirty place. And that's what Philip reminds us of today, that we can be used of God if we will simply be open and be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, if you're looking for the gist of this message, you just heard it. How God can use us if we will be open and obedient, and let me add one other O word, opportunistic, to the voice and the vision of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How do we do that? First, let's start by being open to the work of the Holy Spirit. God spoke. Philip listened. He was attentive and responsive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So to me, that means we are to be filled with the Spirit. It's impossible to be used by the Spirit if God is not filling my life. When we work in our human energy, we get what we can do. But when we work in the power of Christ, we get what God can do, and we share Christ. It is our availability, but it is His ability. It is our personalities, but His power. It is our witness, but it is His work through that witness, and the Holy Spirit, therefore, when we are filled enables us to do things that we couldn't ordinarily do by ourselves, and that includes our witness. To be filled with the Spirit is to ask God to take control and command of our life. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, which means excessive indulgence, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, be intoxicated with the Spirit of God. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will therefore live listening to the Spirit. Then God will open your eyes to see all around you opportunities to share the Jesus with others that you would have missed 1,000 times had you not been walking in the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit, we will see more witness opportunities than we can possibly fulfill. It's when we're walking in self-promotion or self-centeredness that we miss all the opportunities that are around us to share Christ. We need to listen to the Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. These are the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He places us in strategic places. He leads us to people that need to hear our witness. And everyone can witness to someone every day. Maybe this would be a good time for a question. And I'm asking myself this same question. When was the last time you or I witnessed to anyone? Now, I'm not here to put you on a guilt trip, but I'm here to encourage you and myself to get on the greatest adventure of life, and that is being open to the work of the Holy Spirit, sensitized by God in you, to people all around you, because remember, this is the passion of Christ. The Spirit of God is Christ in us. And if Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, if Jesus said, "As the Father sent me into the world, so do I send you," if this is the mission of Christ, that is the mission of his church. And it is the mission of every Christian. So what I need to do is to get out of my personal comfort zone and get into God's zone in my life. That's the filling of the Spirit. If we're going to give away our faith and tell others about Jesus, the first thing we need to do is to be open to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Secondly, we need to not only be open, but we need to be obedient. Being comes before doing. So number one, be open. Number two, be obedient. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 says this, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. It's a command. So if I'm going to obey this command, if I'm going to be an obedient Christian, then I need to live every day with an unquestioning obedience. The moment I stop obeying God is the moment that I give up spiritual power. The moment I say no to a prompting of the Holy Spirit is when I'm cut off from the divine sense of power. Total obedience is what God expects and what God requires. I know that is not easy, but God expects us to be obedient. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We don't always know why God tells us to do something, do we? In Genesis 11, Abraham, or Abram, didn't understand why God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go out not knowing where he was headed into an unknown territory. But as you read on in chapter 12, it goes on to explain that this move was a result of God's call to Abram to leave his home and move to a new land that God would one day give to his descendants. Philip could have questioned God leading him to the desert. Lord, here we are in Samaria. God's using me in a great way. But now, Lord, you want me to go somewhere south in the desert? On this forsaken road to the desert? You want me to go out there? There's no sense that Philip even argued with God on this. He just immediately responded, and God led Philip to just one man. Interestingly enough, in my study, I learned that God later used this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, who came to faith in Christ because of Philip's witness, that God used this Ethiopian eunuch to take the gospel of Christ to all of North Africa. You see, you never know what could happen if you just simply obey God and talk to the person right in front of you about Jesus. We're told in the scriptures that we must never quench the Spirit. The Spirit of God was spreading through the church. Now remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem first and then to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Interestingly enough, when the opposition rolled in Jerusalem and persecution began, remember Stephen, who died as the first Christian martyr? As a result, God in one sense forced the church through their discomfort, through their pain, through their struggles of persecution, forced them out of Jerusalem and to Judea, Samaria. That's where Philip was. Then he ultimately out into the desert and on to the world. It may be that the Spirit of God is using some crisis in your life to move you out of your comfort zone, to get you out sharing Christ. I know he has done that with me. One thing I am learning in the process of my sanctification is that if I or you are going through a hard time, if you as a follower of Christ are struggling in some areas of your life that you can't explain, God wants to use that situation in your life, even the darkness, for you to shine the light of Christ. Because what people want to know is this: does your faith work in tough times? That's what people want to know. The people you go to school with, the people you work with, the people in your neighborhood, they want to know when you're struggling, when I'm struggling, when you're hurting, when I'm hurting, and when you've got a problem and I've got a problem, does your faith and my faith in Jesus make a difference? Does Jesus really change things, or are we just like everybody else, falling apart at the first crisis? These Christians of the early church were moved by the Spirit of God because they were obedient to his work. The scripture says in Acts 20, verse 35, that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. Being obedient includes knowing the scripture. That's another message for another time, but it's important for Philip and for all of us. When we are given these moments that we're able to some degree articulate what we believe, and so it is vital that you and I know the basics of our faith in Christ. I mean, if someone walked up to you right now and said, "Tell me how I could go to heaven. How can I know this Jesus you talk about and worship?" Could you tell them? You ought to be able to tell them the basic facts of the gospel of Christ and with the scripture and preach Jesus. Ultimately, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's talking about Jesus. It's telling people about Jesus, and there are many ways that we do that. We can't all do it the same way, but if we're led by the Spirit, we all will find a way of doing it. My way will be different than your way. It may be through praying for hurting people that you are given as an open door to share your faith. It may be through a ministry of the church. This is why we ask people, urge people to get involved in the ministry of the church, because every ministry of the church, if you're working with children, students, adults, if you're teaching Sunday school class, or if you're working as an usher, or you are volunteering during fellowship time, working in the nursery, or helping with the worship service, or visiting residents up at Sunset Home or any other nursing home, whatever you are doing, these are opportunities to share, to show your witness for Christ. And these will open doors for you to articulate your faith. It is the business of the Holy Spirit to introduce people to faith in Christ. Christians today either neglect the Spirit or abuse the Spirit of God by giving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit, excuse me, by grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit, rather than allowing the Spirit of God to use us. Philip opened the word and preached unto the eunuch Jesus. This is when I'm truly loving life, when I'm opening the word and studying it and preaching Jesus like I am today to a lost and hurting people and to a dying world. When I'm opening the scripture and getting to know Jesus, for me, life doesn't get any better than that. It's all about sharing Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit will soften and prepare the person that you're talking to about Jesus. You see, every person has needs, two basic needs. They need to be forgiven, and they need to be fulfilled. I came across this not too long ago, and I thought it was fitting for my sermon. When a flashlight grows dim and quits working, you don't throw it away. You change the batteries. When a person messes up and finds themselves in a dark place, do you cast them aside? Of course not. You help them change their batteries. Some need AA, attention and affection. Some need AAA, attention, affection, and acceptance. Some need C, compassion. Some need D, direction. And if they still don't seem to shine, simply sit with them quietly and share your light. It makes me think of the children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." We need to shine and share our light of Jesus for others to see. When we come to know Jesus, when we share the good news that Jesus Christ loves you, Christ forgives us of all of our sins and fulfills and fills our lives. I'm not talking about just those who are down and out. Too many people think the gospel is for the down and out. Well, the gospel is for the down and out, but this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was an up and out, and he needed Jesus. He had the same need. He had all this religious experience, but he was empty and unforgiven and needed to know the love of Christ. And so just as the Spirit of God is working on me to prepare me to go to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit of my life, and be obedient to the will of the Spirit in my life, then he is working on somebody who is in my life so that I can share the gospel with them. That day that I could simply share Jesus with them. And that's what I want to challenge you to do and myself to do. When you talk to people each day, what are you talking to them about? Well, we talk about family. We talk about the news, we talk about politics, we talk about the weather, we talk about our favorite sports teams, all surface stuff. I love the story of Pete Maravich, the great basketball player who came to Christ. He said this, "If I have the opportunity to introduce the subject of the conversation with people I meet, The subject is always Jesus. Contemporary Christian music artist Danny Gokey has a song titled Tell Somebody. I'd like to share some of the lyrics with you. Dear church, did you see me? I was a sinner that you walked by on the street. Dear church, remember me? 'Cause you have something so beautiful, something that I need. You have something so beautiful, I wish you would have told me. So come on and tell me about Jesus and all the great things he has done. Where would I be if he had not rescued me? Come on and tell somebody about Jesus. There are many broken people, so many in need. Come on and tell somebody about Jesus. If I was dying and you had a cure, brother, would you help me? Sister, would you help me? Well, the world is dying and there is a cure. I know this for sure, that we've got to tell somebody about Jesus and all the great things that he has done. Where would I be if he had not rescued me? Come on and tell somebody about Jesus. I believe the genuine purpose of men and women is to get people like you and me, the laity, to the marketplace, to the workplace with Jesus. One of the greatest missions fields in the world is the workplace, and God has placed you in that place for a reason. The words of Esther 4:14 are well known. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Although Christians often think of this verse as a motivational motto, it is better seen as a reminder of how God puts us into positions and situations for his purpose, to share Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that you give each of us the courage and the boldness to share your truth and your gospel with those around us, to share with our family, our friends, and acquaintance, as it says in Acts 12, that salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ. Whether that is online or with someone face to face, I pray that those you place on our hearts and in our path would see your great love for them in the truth that we share. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Before I read our benediction this morning, I just want you to think about something. Where would you be if nobody shared Christ with you? Something to think about. Our benediction this morning is from the book of John. I'm going to read verses 30 and 31. This is what it says. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thank you for coming today, and have a great week.